Now, Einstein made two statements that are so dynamic that if we don't understand them, we had better, because they're basic and they're terrific. Every time I talk about these things, my life changes. I've given this talk over hundreds and hundreds of times. I've got 1,000 other things I could talk about. But I have people coming to me now saying, I've heard you 6 times before, 7 times before, and I'm here again. I'm beginning to understand it. I'm beginning to wake up. Because these things are dynamic, and we don't grasp them until we really concentrate and start to think about them. Einstein made two statements, and I want to discuss them. Matter is force, and time is relative. And if you don't think they're important, wait till I get through. They're basic. They're true. Like a Japanese doctor said to me the other day after I had talked to a group of Japanese, the second group that I had talked to in 2 weeks, the first group said, we've got to hear you again. We want more of our friends to hear you. We talked about what you'd said, and we all agreed we believed everything you'd said. And when I get through, you'll be utterly amazed to see what it was they believed. But this second group came to me afterwards the same way, and this doctor made this statement. He said, this is terrific. He said, I've always known there was some truth someplace, but I didn't know what it was. He said, this is for the rich. This is for the poor. This is for the educated man. This is for the unlearned man. He said, this is for all nationalities. This is for everyone. This is truth, isn't it? I said, this is the total truth. He said, this I believe. This I believe. He kept repeating, smiling. This I believe. He said, I want your phone number. I want to talk to you later. But he said, this I believe. What did he believe? Truth. What is truth? Let's see. All matter is force, Einstein said, and immediately the scientist said he was crazy because they didn't understand. Would you believe that all the material that you can see with this eye was nothing but an unseen power? If you didn't understand it, you will in just a few moments, because if I can understand it, you certainly can. All matter is made up of molecules. A molecule is the smallest portion of any particular material. A molecule is so small that a molecule in a drop of water is the same size as an orange is compared to the entire earth. But inside of the molecule there are some little round things called atoms. Every type of material has a different number of atoms in the molecule. That's why it is a different type of material. Well, what is an atom? Well, an atom is a solar system. In the middle of each atom, you'll find a little neutron and proton, or a cluster of them, depending on the type of material, going around in the middle, and way out in space in the atom are a bunch of little electrons, like little planets. And they're going every direction, some going this way and some this way, around the neutrons and protons on the inside of the atom. And those little electrons are so tiny that the distance between them, compared to their size, is the same relative distance as you'd find from the sun to the moon to the earth and Venus. Our whole solar system is duplicated inside of the atom. There's nothing but space in there and those minute particles, but they become solid because of the terrific speed at which they are going. If I stood in the middle of this room with an orange on the end of a 10-foot rope and could swing it fast enough, you know, I could make it look like a 20-foot hoop, and it would be so solid you couldn't even put your finger in it because of the speed of the orange. Isn't that right? We can understand that. All right, these little electrons are traveling 99% the speed of light, and light travels 186,000 miles per second. So they become a solid mass that you can feel. Now, science doesn't know what makes them go, but science will tell you what would happen if they stopped. They tell us you could take all the electrons that make up the entire Earth and put them in a teacup. Does that do anything to you? But that isn't anything, because they discovered Einstein was right, that inside of the electrons there was still motion and there isn't anything there. Nothing but an unseen power, a force. And if you people were scientists, maybe some of you are, you would understand the equation and you'd give us an equation for that. I'll put it in terms that mean the same thing that I can understand. Energy under speed becomes matter. So the entire Earth is made of nothing but an unseen power. But I said the Earth. I haven't told you anything yet. This isn't anything. This little Earth is 8,000 miles through the middle. 8,000 miles only. We spend hour as we spin in space, but it's about 90 million miles from the Earth to the Sun, and the Earth spins and goes around the Sun each year as it spins. So as we go around the Sun, we're traveling at a speed of 1,100 miles per minute. But the Sun isn't standing still. As we go around the Sun is rushing north at the rate of 43,200 miles an hour, rushing through space as our solar system follows it in perfect rhythm, on and on and on. Now that goes around another Sun and another until it becomes a part of the great Milky Way. That's called a galaxy of stars. I'll tell you what the Milky Way looks like in the skies. It looks like a pinwheel at a 4th of July celebration, a sort of a disc-shaped thing that's spinning like this, all full of sparks. Now, we're part of that. We're in the outer fringe of the Milky Way. Our Sun is a medium-sized star. If it was hollow, you could take 1 million Earths and dump them on the inside of our Sun. But the Sun isn't a big star. I'll tell you what a big star is like up there. There's one big star that's so big that if the Sun was in the middle of it, and our Earth was rotating around the Sun on the inside of it. Now, it's 90 million miles to the Sun, so that'd be 180 million miles across. That'd be the diameter of our orbit. You could put that whole orbit on the inside of the one star and only reach two-thirds of the way from the center to the outer edge of that one star. In the Milky Way, there are estimated to be hundreds of billions of suns alone, plus all the other planets and things going around them, in the Milky Way. Do you know what I'm talking about? Hundreds of billions of suns. And when they put up the new 200-inch telescope down at Palomar, they discovered more billions of suns and stars and planets in the Milky Way. Now, that's one disc-shaped cluster of stars. The Milky Way is so big that it takes light 100,000 years to travel across the Milky Way, traveling at the rate of 186,000 miles per second. It takes 10,000 years for light to travel from the top to the bottom of it. Now, when they swung that big telescope away from the Milky Way out into space, they had always known that there were billions of those Milky Ways called galaxies. But with the new 200-inch telescope, they discovered more billions of Milky Ways. But they discovered that all of those galaxies were exploding out into space. And less than 8 months ago, they made this official announcement that this was absolutely correct, this theory. I said, thank goodness, I've been saying that for 5 years now. I'd better have been out on a limb if it wasn't. But they were releasing articles all the time, and I knew it had to be true. It had to be. I'll show you why before we get through. Now it is official. They know the direction in which all of those galaxies are going, so they can draw big charts and show where they came from, and they will tell you that all those galaxies came from the same place. Now, they know that the speed at which they're going. They'll tell you that some galaxies, up to a year ago or 8 months ago, they would have told you that some of those galaxies were exploding at the rate of 38,000 miles per second, faster than our Milky Way, out into space. But they now will tell you there's one that they have measured that is exploding at the rate of 75,000 miles per second, faster than our Milky Way, out into space. So because they know the speed at which they're going and the direction, they can tell you not only where they came from, but when they were there. And they will tell you that all creation started in one place at one time, and in one great instantaneous burst went out every direction into space. And all of that material is made out of the same thing as this Earth. Nothing but an unseen burst of energy. Einstein said, matter is force. Doesn't that do something to you? All things were created. Now, let's see what his other theory is. It concerns you and I. Time is relative. I have tens of thousands of miles of blood vessels and veins in my body. Outside of that, I have a little capillary system that takes the blood from the vessels and veins and carries it to the uttermost parts of the skin, and through the process of osmosis, the food goes out through the walls, feeds the cells, and rushes into the bloodstream back to the stomach for more. I've got 62,000 miles of those capillaries, I'm told, alone. I've got 5 or 6 quarts of blood in my body, and that stuff pumps around through those tens of thousands of miles of vessels and veins and capillaries and performs its function every 23 seconds. Pretty good pump we've got in there. If you could build a pump like that for industry, I'll guarantee you all the oil companies in the country would sock everything they had in order to get their patent rights for that kind of a pump. Boy, no, just no, it takes no fuel. It just goes all the time and pumps and pumps and pumps. Why, boy, nobody knows what makes that heart work that way. But that isn't anything. That's just a part of us. We've got a little motion picture camera in our head that interests me because I've been taking a motion picture of everything I ever saw in my life. And I put that little thing on a film back in my mind, and I can go back in my memory and play anything that ever happened in my life in front of my mind instantaneously, and it's on color, in color and on soundtrack, too. Quite a machine. But that isn't all. When I look at you, do you know what I see? I see light rays reflected into this little hole in my head. You know, when you look at that little girl next time and see that bright spot in her eye, remember that's a hole in her head. That's all. And light rays go inside of there and make a little impression on a film. Now, the reason I see different things and different patterns is because every material absorbs certain rays of the spectrum and emits other and reflects others. So I get a crazy pattern of reflections, and it makes sense to me, and I see you in a different form. If you had, if all the rays are reflected, why, it wouldn't look like that. But your coat absorbs some, your trousers another, your tie another, your facial expression. So we get a pattern that makes sense to us of light rays. They're coming into my eye at the rate of 186,000 miles per second. What would happen if I was 186,000 miles out in space and you raised your hand? When would I see you raise your hand? 1 second later. Correct. If I was out twice that far, I would see you do it 2 seconds later. 3 times that far, 3 seconds later, and I can take a paper and pencil and tell you exactly how far you've got to go out in space in order to look back and watch yourself doing what you did 10 years ago. I can tell you how far you've got to go out in space in order to look back and see any event in history still being reenacted. And I can tell you how far you've got to go out into space in order to look back and watch the scene in the Garden of Eden. And you'll still be right out in our own backyard in space. Doesn't that do something to you? Does that bring anything to your memory that has been written about the human being being something else than an animal? That he'll give an account of his works, that he'll know even as he's known. Does that start to make sense? Einstein says time is relative. There is nothing like time. You and I think we get away with something? We don't. We speak an unkind word? We don't. Some of these scientific organizations, like Moody Institute of Science, will even tell you that the things you say and do are written in the walls and on the rocks and in the mountains, and they're their permanent record in writing right there. I don't understand that. That's over my head. But this one I understand. We're a marvelous machine. Now let's see if there isn't some higher authority for these truths. There was a book written a long time ago, several thousand years ago, and I want to submit to you that Einstein didn't discover anything new. He only proved that everything written in that Bible was truth. God wrote in the first chapter of Genesis, "In the beginning God said, let there be light." And every time God created anything, it says he said, he said, he said, he said, and we didn't believe it. We thought it wasn't scientific enough. Then you come to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the third verse. It says, "Through faith we understand that the worlds," W-O-R-L-D-S, plural, all of them, "were framed," meaning formed or created, "by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." And all your newer translations give it this way. Everything you can see with this eye is made out of something which is invisible to this eye. It is the word of God. What's the difference between that and matter's force? Einstein's theory. Same thing, isn't it? Einstein only proved that everything started from one great burst of energy and became matter, because energy under speed becomes matter. Isn't that terrific? But that isn't the whole story. Who did this? Here's the good news. In the first chapter of John, "In the beginning was the Word," capital W-O-R-D, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst men. All things were created by H-I-M, Him." And Jesus of Nazareth was the one that created the heavens and earth with the power of His Word. There are scriptures from one end to the other stating that. What does it say in the 96th Psalm, the 5th verse? "For the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord created the heavens." The old prophet. Why does Buddhism, Shintoism, Mohammedism, all the rest absolutely fall away at this story? I'll tell you why. Because there is no man, not even a demon, that could ever imagine anything as fantastic as the truth of God. I'd like to see a man take a paper and pencil and sit down and write a lie like that. And that isn't anything yet that I've told you, because now I'll tell you the story. This one that created heaven and earth became flesh. Now, what did he create in the first place? Just his word? No, no. All truth. What is truth? Pontius Pilate asked that question. I read it today in my worship. He said, what is truth? And Jesus didn't answer him. He could have, because he was the truth. All right? When he created everything, he created the multiplication tables. He created the laws of gravity. He created the laws of chemistry. Let's just take those things. How do they reveal his glory? All things were made to reveal his glory. Don't you think they do? You just try to break the multiplication table laws and see what happens to you. You may put 2 times 2 equals 5 down on your books and think you get away with it, but wait till the auditor comes around. You may think that you break the laws of gravity when you step out of a plane 10 miles up in the air, but what happens? After 20 seconds, you'll find out what you did. You may think you break the laws of chemistry, pouring one acid in another when the book says don't do that. When you laugh and say, ha, 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 but you didn't read far enough, it says in 17 seconds you'll blow your head off, and it'll come, just wait. And you can't violate one of God's laws, and this same one that came down, he created heaven and earth and came to earth, said the soul that sinneth shall die. And he also said, every one of you and I have sinned. How? I'll tell you what sin is. You and I look around at this great creation, just remember tomorrow noon, if you wanted to get up above the bustle of the city, you go up there and strip 10 miles in the air and stand in the sunshine for 5 minutes. Do you know what had happened to you 10 miles above town? You'd be frozen stiff as a poker in 5 minutes because it's about 60 degrees below zero up there. And while you were freezing to death, the short rays from the sun would burn the skin right off of your body. You go down 10 miles in the earth and you'd die of the heat. They tell us the inside of the earth is as hot as the sun, and it's only 4,000 miles to the middle of that furnace. And we're on a little thin crust spinning in space. We look around at the great universe. The heavens declaring the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork, and what do we say? I tell you what I think. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I've got these plans. I've got this plan. Men say, I don't care if the Bible does say that I should teach my children about God. I can let them go to hell if they want to. I don't care. I don't have to listen. That's what they're saying. They won't listen to what God has to say. They'll read it and say, I don't care. They know in their heart it's true. Because the same one that created all truth said, even the heathen are without excuse before him, because they behold his glory in creation, but they'll worship him not as God. And I asked a man the other day, when he started to tell me how good he was, I said, do you worship God? Do you pray to him daily? Do you share things with him? Well, no, he didn't. I said, of course you don't. You're a sinner. You're a rebel in his kingdom. You think you're smart. You can take his kingdom and say, it's mine. I can do this, I can do that. And you know you depend upon him for your very breath, and when he takes the last breath from you, you'll go out into eternity, and he says, whether you like it or not, you're going to live forever. And then you know what the Bible says? That we're going to stand before God in the great white throne judgment after he disintegrates this fallen creation. And here's an interesting thing. It says it'll be disintegrated with fervent heat. You know how fervent heat is caused? There's only one way you can create fervent heat, is by stopping the motion in matter. You break the neutrons and protons apart and let the electrons go loose. And science will tell you if all the motion stopped in the earth, there'd be one big flash of flame. And that's how God is going to destroy heavens and earth, just like he made it. With the power of his word, he's going to stop it because it's fallen. It isn't like heaven. He doesn't want cyclones and windstorms and everything else. That's part of the fallen creation. He didn't want thorns and thistles. That came as a result of sin. We're going to live someday in a creation, he said, there'll be a new heavens and earth created. And everyone is going to come out of that grave, and they're going to stand before the great white throne judgment where they behold light for the last time. And they're going to behold that light, and every direction they look in space will be pitch black because God is light. And then they're going to turn around, and what are they going to face? Is God going to condemn them? No. Christ said, I came not into the world to condemn the world, but to save that which was lost. Because men are going to watch their record, and they're going to see everything they did. And this explains the mystery to me as to why all of those people will bow their knees. It says, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is the Christ unto the glory of God the Father before they're cast into a lake of black fire forever. They're going to admit they had it coming. God's righteousness will be established forever from the lips of the same ones that now say, I don't have to listen. God gave you and I one thing when he created us, his free will. And we can laugh at him, we can scoff at him, we can deny him, we can kill his son, and he will leave us alone now. Why? For the same reason that he gave us the family life, so we'd understand him. You see, you ask a woman to marry you, and you say, will you marry me, honey? She has a right to laugh at you and say, what, you jerk, I marry you? Ha, ha, ha. She has to have that right. But when she looks at you and says, okay, honey, I will, there's a funny thing called love and you become one. And that's why God gave us the family life, so we could understand Him. That's what He wants from us. He wants us to be reconciled to Himself. And He made it so easy that He told us a story that should break our heart. The one that created heaven and earth, the Son of God, came down and became one of us, and what did we do with Him? Well, I'm going to take just a moment to tell you what game they played, because I never read this in any book, but I want you to go home and read your Bibles now and see if this doesn't make sense. They took this Son of God in a kangaroo court, because it was illegal to call the Sanhedrin into session in the middle of the night like they did. And they pulled Him before the Sanhedrin, and then they played a game with Him. Now, the Roman soldiers used to play that game. They would put a blindfold on one member, we're told, and one would step out from the ring and hit him right in the face, and then they'd take the blindfold off and let him guess who it was. If he guessed, that fellow was it. Otherwise, they'd hit him again with the blindfold off. And after a while, he'd see blood dripping from somebody's hand, and he'd say, you're it, and that was supposed to be a good joke. And they would put the blindfold on that man. That's the way they played, we're told. So that explains the game they played with this Jesus of Nazareth one night. They put the blindfold on, and they hauled off, and they beat Him, it says in the New Translation. It says they smote Him in the King James Version. The modern translation said they beat Him. And they didn't take the blindfold off. They said, you're a prophet, prophesy, and tell us who smote thee. And now if you read in the 52nd chapter of Isaiah, right at the end, before that wonderful 53rd chapter, it'll tell you that He was going to be beaten. His visage was going to be marred worse than any man's. And they stood the Son of God up and cut Him to ribbons with their fists that night before they took Him out and they killed Him. And God held His wrath. Why? You and I had to have free will for God to accomplish His purpose. We had to have free will. And that's what we did with it. And thank God He went into the grave and He came out in a new body and He ascended into heaven and He sent the Holy Spirit into the world. And here comes the blessed story to every man. This same Christ who created heaven and earth, all truth, that I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take a dirty, rotten sinner like Paul Liebling, who is guilty of death a million times over, because all that he did with full knowledge of the truth all of his life. But I'll forgive him. And I'll not only forgive him, I'll give him a gift of eternal life. And then I will put my Holy Spirit in him, and I will start to help him overcome his sin and to form him into the kind of a reflector that will reflect the glory of Jesus Christ in the earth, and he will be my son, God says. And he says, that isn't all. When he shucks off this old body, I will give him a new body like Jesus had when he came out of the grave, and I will let him live forever and ever and ever with the Lord Jesus Christ. And to cap it all off, he says that now I, who have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and God, am a joint heir with Him. And when He arose from the dead, He was seated on the right hand of God the Father, and God demanded that all creatures in heaven and earth fall down and worship the Son. And I am a joint heir with Him, according to His word. How'd you like to write a lie like that? And then have somebody come along, like our great scientists, and prove that the whole thing is true. Do you know why there are no other religions in the world? Nobody could think up a lie that would compare to the truth. When the truth of God is revealed, like it is in Jesus Christ, there's no room for argument. There's no room for anything. They can't talk any other religion. They either accept or reject. And if they don't accept, it's because they say, I don't have to. And here we have the right to even create eternal life. We're so powerful. You can have children or not, just as you please. And if your children aren't born, they'll never be born. God has made us a great creature, and He won't infringe upon our free will. He won't infringe upon that, because He must give us free will to get the love that He wants. And I just want to tell you that I have accepted this Jesus Christ as my Lord and my God. And when He came into my life, He changed my nature so I couldn't gamble anymore. I couldn't rob anymore. I couldn't do those things. I just wanted to tell people how wonderful He was, and He's brought such joy and peace into my life that I'm so happy I don't know how to hold it. I go down the highway singing some days, just praising God and saying, oh God, how could you take me and give me all of this business and friends and chances to witness by the hundreds? Oh, it's God, how could you do it? And I just say, if you don't shut it off, God, I'll die. I can't stand it. I mean it. I've had to ask Him to shut it off many times, and so have you. You know, Jesus Christ, you can't hold it. Your body just can't contain the joy that He puts in your heart. I was going along on the highway out in California there, from about a Rosemead going on into Los Angeles one day, singing so happy. and praising the Lord in a nice quiet way, and I was singing one song, and that last word of that song hit me, and I'll tell you, I wept all the way into Los Angeles. My clothes were wet as I realized what that last word was. And I just wanted to share that with you. I sang this little song. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. That word eternity hit me, and I realized that in just a few seconds, I would be facing eternity, and never again in all eternity would I see a day, a month, or a year. Time would stop. Never again in all that eternity would I ever have the privilege of going out and putting my arm around the shoulder of a creature who had been created in the image of God, and who was a fallen creature who was already under condemnation to be cast into a lake of blackness forever and ever and ever because of his rebellion. And I have the privilege of telling him the blessed story of the love of God revealed in his Son, Jesus Christ, who paid the price of his sin. And just by him believing and receiving Christ in his heart, he says he would have eternal life, and I have the chance to watch the Holy Spirit come into that man and watch him changed into a child of God, knowing he's going out and win his family and his friends for Christ, and knowing that I will spend eternity throwing our arms around each other up there because of the chance we have to share this down here. And I should waste my time sitting around watching silly television shows and stuff at night and saying, I've got to have some recreation. Boy, I just wept and wept and wept and says, God, if you burn me out before, burn me out. May I die on my feet, telling the world of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, he's taken my word, I guess. Because I'll tell you, I haven't any time to waste. You know, we talk about recreation. I don't see anything about that in the Bible. I've seen about rest once in a while for our bodies. But boy, to spend time on ourselves, when our loved ones and even our enemies are dying for the want of Jesus Christ, my recreation is telling people of his love and watching the Holy Spirit come into a new life. That's my recreation, and that's all I live for, that's all I want. And I just thank God from the bottom of my heart for every chance that I have to witness and tell the world that he was the creator of heaven and earth, and yet he loved us enough to die for our dirty, rotten sin. How can I help but love him? How can I help but tell the story with all of my heart? Let's just have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, once again, we bow with wonder and awe before you as we consider the glory of the Lord Jesus, his majesty and his power, and to think that he'd be mindful of us is beyond our comprehension. But we thank you for the witness of the Holy Spirit in our hearts that witnesses with ours that we are your children. And, oh God, may we in this group be faithful to thee until Jesus comes. We know that's all you called us to be, is faithful. And we know then that Christ will be glorified in our lives and will be the kind of people that will draw men unto him. And we ask that this be accomplished in our flesh as long as he tarries. In his precious name we ask it. Amen.